The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you hear this sound, that means this episode is also featured on our YouTube channel as a video. Head over to www.youtube.com/keepitweirdpodcast to check it out.
Warning, this episode contains foul language and discussions about religion, death, and potential plant torture.
Paranormal, supernatural, creepy, sticky, gross, scary, and everything in between. Each week we sit down together from across the country and we talk about something weird. And this week is no exception as we bring you a few bizarre segments ranging from maybe a little spooky ooky all the way over to a little silly willy, if you will. And we are bringing you a mysterious train crash, some weird plant science, some piping hot tea on your girl Mary Magdalene, and a Pennsylvania carjacker who has a few screws loose in his noggin. So, you know, we got a lot going on. Join us for a wonderfully weird hour of chat that starts here. Your ghost hosts with the most are ready to bring you good cheer. My name is Lauren, and this is my lovely co-host, Ashley.
Merry Christmas, weirdos.
Merry We're Christmas from cheer. Santa's elves. I know I had a lot of preschool teacher moments in that opening
Listen,
speech,
you taught preschool
but that's
today. It's you hard know what? To that's who I shake am. That off. I imagine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I wouldn't know.
It sure is.
I'm bringing pink energy today. You're gonna notice something
she
a little bit
a
different
Barbie
about me,
girl.
I have Barbie nails now, and it's changed me as a person. Inside out.
I really enjoy the pink look on you. Do you think it's because the Barbie trailer dropped last week and you're just feeling really inspired?
randomly, so I was never like a fan of Barbie growing up. I mean, I played with Barbies obviously because I had so many of them, but like they were always on like, they robbed a bank and they were escaping into the woods and their clothes were always tattered. Their hair was cut. They had tattoos. Like my Barbies were murderers and
for sure.
Thieves.
It was the dark Ashley version of Barbie play.
Yeah. It very rarely was like, will you marry me, Ken? I don't even think I had a Kindle.
Right.
But.
Good. Screw Ken.
Joey got me this like vintage Barbie lunchbox for my birthday this year that I was like in love with. And then the Barbie trailer came out and I'm in love with the trailer. And now I'm just embracing that girly part of me that I never ever embraced growing up.
You can be a black spooky witch, but also have a little splash of Barbie.
Absolutely.
Like you can be a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. And that is what
we're
doing. I feel
like my personality is way more bubbly than it is dark anyway. Like I feel like if you just heard my voice
yes,
and then
you
saw
are
me
bubbly.
And you're like, oh, you don't own any color. And it's like, no.
No, but you do have the sweetest voice. This is my only pink being represented.
Oh my god!
On top of my beautiful lipstick on top of it, but it was like it's so cute, representing palm trees.
I'm drinking lemon water like a good, good girl. No Diet Coke for me.
I had a beacon of health Diet Coke for lunch.
Okay.
Well, you know, nobody has to.
Before we get started today, we don't really have a lot of old business, but I do want to remind people to please consider joining our Patreon at www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast because, one, it's how we make money to produce this show. So if you like this show, if you listen to the show, you want to see it continue forever and ever, go donate $1, $5, or $10 once or monthly to help us reach our monthly goals and keep going. But two, I say this now because Joe and I are recording two Ask Me Everythings this weekend. That's going to be only to patrons of the show. And we are wanting questions. So if you want to submit a question for that, you can email us at keepitweirdpodcast@gmail.com or call us at 626-686-1821 and leave a voicemail. Mm-mm. We also, speaking of voicemails and emails, we want to do another listener ghost stories. I was thinking probably at the end of this month, our first one of the season.
We're due.
But we need stories. So email those to us as well or call us and tell us your tale in our voicemail.
Ooh, how fun would it be to have recordings of a ghost story read by some of our listeners? Like,
I would
please call us and tell your story.
Recommend doing what you do when you submit stories to us when you write them out. Write out a little script for yourself and read it as though you were reading it on the show. Because then if it sounds great, I'll add some spooky music to it and I'll just play it. And you could tell your story in your voice. I think it would be really, really
cool. Bada bing, bada boom.
Bada bing, bada boom.
That would be so cool.
Hey, oh, way.
Yeah. Then you're on the show. Hey.
Hey.
I would love that.
Yeah, if you want.
Wait,
if
what
you
was it?
Whatever.
Bobby New York? Was
hey,
that the character
Bobby
that
New
was
York.
Created?
Yeah.
Hey, it's Bobby New York.
One of our New York episodes, which was a very fun episode. So
it was.
Let us move into our first segment of the day. What if God was one of us? Sing it.
Can't help but sing the song. Just a slop.
What if God was one of us? What if God was one of us is our religion segment. This is where we will have all of our spirituality discussions, whether it's based on the history of religion, updates on our own personal spiritual journeys, even sharing some religious beef we may have. And this week, I'm going to be telling you about the Gospel of Mary Magdalene.
You have been wanting to tell this tale for a hot minute now, and I'm very excited for you. And I am excited to hear.
I took these notes last December. This is what I was going to talk about on her Christmas episode. We were going to have like a whole religion episode. It was all going to be religion. We were going to come in as angels.
It would have been so funny.
It would have been so funny. But guess what? Mm-hmm. Life finds a way sometimes. And sometimes life gets in the way. And this time it got
like every time I am in Illinois, there is a curse set upon us. So
storm,
that it was one of those.
Snow.
One of those times.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Yep.
So there have been many religious texts found that have not been included in the Bible. And if these gospels and texts are the word of God, then shouldn't God's followers read them, know them, live them, right?
Sure. Yep. Of course.
The gospel that I want to talk about today could be one of the most important gospels that exists because it's written by the person who is literally the closest person to Jesus Christ, and yet it is not included in the Bible for a myriad of reasons.
I was like, is it because she's a lady?
That's one of them, but not the biggest one. So I'm going to go over with you what's in the gospel, and then we could talk about it. But first off, and I know you probably went through this too, I remember growing up in the Lutheran church, there was always a question of what kind of relationship did Jesus have with Mary Magdalene?
Oh, yes.
Because
it was constantly the conversation.
Yeah, because she's
like, was there romance?
Were they lovers? Mm-hmm. She's mentioned a lot. Yep. She was always with Christ and his disciples. She was present at his death. She was present at his resurrection. She was obviously important, but why was she never listed as an apostle? It turns out she was. It just didn't make it into the final cut.
Oh, she didn't make the final cut of the script. I can't. Oh, poor Mary.
Weird that she was left out. The manuscript of her gospel is a real thing. It was a 5th century Egyptian version of what was almost certainly originally Greek or maybe even Syrian text. And we know that because we found fragments of the gospel from the 3rd century in Greek, which actually confirms the importance of that document, because only extremely important manuscripts that were considered crucial to Christianity and the Christian faith were copied in this way from that language. So,
right.
And unfortunately, this sucks. This is true of quite a few biblical texts, even ones that made it in the Bible. But the version of Mary's gospel that we have is actually incomplete. We still haven't found a good portion of it, which sucks because it's short to begin with.
That does. Yeah. I need more.
We're missing 9 whole pages of it. Which is a bummer.
That's a bummer.
But what I want to talk about today is what Mary's gospel says, because holy shit, literally, holy, holy, holy,
holy
Christ, God Almighty.
Mighty.
That kind of holy shit. It completely transforms Jesus's teachings, which is definitely probably why it's been excluded from the Bible. I'm not stupid.
Sure, sure.
But it's also a huge bummer because I think her gospel's the closest thing to my spirituality and might
have
kept a person like me in the church. I mean, probably not, but maybe in the faith.
I was like, that is a big statement.
That's bold.
I like that.
I don't know if we'll go that far. But
I was like, that is a big statement.
Anyway, so it's missing the first 6 pages. But starting with page 7, we're in the middle of a conversation between like Mary, John, Paul, Peter. They're all there. They're all in a who knows where they are. Maybe they're in a cave. They're all there. Jesus has been killed. And it's after his death. They're grieving. But we kind of come in on the middle of the conversation. Mary asks Jesus, tell us about matter. Will matter survive? And Jesus's response verbatim is, all of nature with its forms and creatures exist together and are interwoven with each other. They will be resolved back, however, to their own proper origin, for the compositions of matter return to the original roots of their nature. Then Peter asks, you know, since you've taught us all of this, like, then what is the sin of this world? And Jesus basically says that sin does not exist. Not the way that you think it does. Like, yes, there are behaviors you should avoid, but you aren't sinning by doing them. The only time you actually sin is when you behave in a way that is against your nature as a human being, and you behave in a way that is outside of pure love. So a lot of the commandments are about acting outside of pure love, acting out of jealousy, rage, envy, coveting, judgment of others, harming others. Like, those are sins, because every act should be about love and should be an act of true love.
Right.
He also says that the Son of Humanity exists within you. It is not external. All you have to do is look within to find God, which is an extremely Eastern religious concept. And I'll read the exact text again, so you know I'm not just like translating this in a way that I want to read it.
That suits you.
Jesus said, peace be with you. May my peace reside within you. Guard carefully that no one misleads you, saying, look, he is here or he's over there. For the Son of Humanity already exists within you. Follow him, for those who seek him there will find him. Go forth now and proclaim the good news concerning the kingdom. Beyond what I have already given you, do not lay down any further rules nor issue laws as the lawgiver, lest you too be dominated by them. Rut-row, from the mouth of JC himself.
JC!
Turns out making laws against people's freedoms of living their truth is one of the big sins.
Isn't that special?
Isn't that special?
Oh my goodness.
Then, get this. When Jesus describes the nature of our world and our true selves, he says that the origin of nature does not lie within this earthly plane. What we take for solid reality is a mixtus orbis, or a mixed realm in which everything is interwoven, like I said before. It's an extremely metaphysical take. And the way he talks about sin, again, very Eastern as well. Sin and sinning is not the problem. Yeah. It's the ignorance of your true nature that's to blame for the suffering of the world. And he even says sin is an illusion. Sin isn't a sin until you act in ways that are out of alignment with your true self, which is a being of light and love.
My gosh, this is just like Buddhism. Like, this is...
It's legitimately Buddhism.
Right. Like, I wish we had just been grasping onto this all along, this idea, instead of like, well, you know, if you do this, that's a sin, and I'm going to hit you with my Bible. Like, that is instead the word.
I have a book somewhere. I'm going to have to find it. It's called, it's like, What If Jesus and Buddha Were Brothers? Mm. And it essentially compares the two and their messages and how they are more often the same than they are different. Yeah.
Yep.
But it's also alluded to in these texts that Mary Magdalene's connection to Christ was so strong, she even had visions of him after he ascended into heaven, after he crossed over. They were referred to almost as soulmates. They were completely interwoven. And at one point, the men even ask Mary to give them a message from Christ. Again, this is after he's dead, because she was the one he loved the most. Those were the exact words of the text. And Christ then speaks through her and says, "Blessed are you that you did not waver at the sight of me, for where the mind is, there is the treasure." And Mary stops herself and asks, "Lord, how does he who sees the vision see it through the soul or through the spirit?" And Jesus said, "He does not see through the soul nor through the spirit, but through the mind, which is in between the two. That's what sees the vision." What?
Hello?
Hello? Which to me, the mind, consciousness, that's what I get from that.
Totally.
I don't plead.
Jesus was like a yogi. He should have been a yoga instructor.
He was probably cross-legged, I imagine, all the time.
Sitting crisscross applesauce.
Crisscross applesauce. Jesus' final plea in this gospel is that his disciples remain present within themselves rather than chasing after mirages in the outer world. Again, Buddhism. Finding happiness, joy, and peace within oneself. Mary even says, he, referring to Jesus and God, has prepared us so that we might become fully human. At least that's the modern translation. The original text says to become an anthropos, a completed human being, as in reaching our full potential, reaching our highest self, possibly become enlightened.
The enlightenment. Huh? Yep. Oh my gosh. Yep. Interesting.
It also kind of, reading it, brought an entirely new interpretation of prayer that makes a lot more sense to me. Like,
yeah.
I kind of got in trouble in Lutheran school because I would ask questions that the teachers wouldn't have answers to. And that's not usually something that people who are teaching religion like.
Right.
And it wasn't even that I was like, well, you're full of shit, but it's like, I have questions. Like, why can't you?
You had genuine questions and they were like, oh, you're complicating this. Like, just listen to what I'm saying and take it literally. Yeah.
Because I always wondered, you know, they talk about like, oh, pray to God for things or pray to God when you need something or whatever, whatever. And my issue with that was that they always taught you that God knows the past, present, and future. He has a plan for you. He knows exactly what's going to happen to you, exactly what you need. So then why would you pray to him?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If that's the case. And
why do
if
you have to pray and ask for it if, like, he already knows the desires of your heart and he's going to make it happen? Why are we, like, begging for his help?
Why are we asking him for stuff?
Why? And then even, why do we have to ask? You know, he knows.
We're told, oh, we have free will, and that's why, what, you know, that's the duality. But then it's like, oh, but also he knows everything that's going to happen and everything that's supposed to happen is going to happen. It's like, so then how do we have free, like, none of this makes sense to me.
So then free will makes no sense. I know. I've never understood it.
But if you look at
it's been an issue for me.
With what Jesus teaches us in the Gospel of Mary, it's just meditation. It's guidance and comfort and meditation. Like, because if God is within you, prayer is reaching inside yourself to find what you need in order to deal with the suffering here on earth. Because that was another question I always didn't understand either. Like, to me, this all makes God a little bit easier to understand. Like, why? Totally. Why would God give a child cancer? Why would God mm-hmm. create pedophiles? Why would God let these things happen if he was all powerful and all good and worthy of this worship? Why would he let these things right. happen? And you can say, like, well, that's the devil. And it's like, no, you told me God was yeah. all powerful. Yeah. So that doesn't make sense.
So you can't, yeah, your argument doesn't make sense here. He would still be able to have the control over this earth and make things happen yeah. or disappear if and he wanted the devil. To.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So then, therefore, yeah. I don't think he's all good, and I don't think he's worthy of mm-hmm. worship. But mm-hmm. if you look at it from the way Jesus was talking about our time here on earth to Mary Magdalene and to Peter and to John, these things happen because life on earth is hard, and we're put in difficult mm-hmm. situations in order to grow here. Like, how many times yeah. have you appreciated a difficult relationship or hardship because of the lessons you learned from it?
Because of what you learned from it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have learned so much from, like, not even all romantic relationships, like a little bit of
hard friendships.
You could almost call them toxic friendships that I've yeah. had. Yeah. That have tested me, where it's like, I learned so much from them and they made me grow as a person and made me realize things that I want to fight for and things that I want in this life. It's like they sharpened me, which I feel like was always a religious term that people would learn, like, sharpen yourself. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I will.
I'm getting sharp.
So Yeah, I have sharpened. Yeah, but I've learned so much from that. And that is why life is freaking hard, because we learn from it. Yeah. We hopefully become better from it. And yeah.
Well, and that's sort of, you know, how Buddhism works and seemingly how Christianity works. Like, this is these are the words of the people who knew him the best. So these are the people. Yeah. These aren't like Mark and Matthew, who never met Jesus, and were just writing about mm-hmm. him 100 years later. These are the
From
people
hearsay.
That were like eating dinner with him, washing his feet. So,
right next
according
to him.
To his own words, it's very much so like the more hardships you make it through, as long as you're learning from them and remaining a being of love, the closer you are to God, because God is your highest self.
And to that, I can say
amen, sister.
All damn day.
And then one more thing. Okay, so I had this realization when reading the Gospels of Mary and John. In a future episode, I'm going to tell you about the Gospel of John, because that's wild as well.
Can't wait.
I was trying to get a different perspective on sin, and I made this connection in my brain, but I don't know if it makes sense. So please tell me if it sounds like I'm on to something or if I've lost it.
Okay.
So there's a lot of thou shalt nots in the Bible, especially in the Old mm-hmm. Testament, but then the New Testament comes along and we are presented with like a final draft of sins. Like, the mm-hmm. fine, yep. we whittled it down
Here's
to 10.
Here's the worst ones.
These are the yep. ones you're not supposed to do. But we also know, again, this is another one of those like make it make sense to me. We also know that if we are baptized, we accept Jesus as our Savior, we ask for forgiveness, those sins are forgiven, and we're granted eternal life, which seems pretty chill that you can commit murder mm-hmm. and then just be like, sorry, and it's fine, right?
Sorry about it. Yeah.
And it's also crazy to me to create human beings that have a very specific nature and then tell them to deny that nature and not behave like human beings because that's a sin. Like, you created us. So why would you
right.
do this and then tell us we're bad?
Mm-hmm. And then be like, oh, wait, don't do that. Like, that's what we're made to do.
You made us this way. Like, why would you do that? So what if we looked at the Ten Commandments as thou shalt instead of thou shalt nots? Like, you will do these things. Maybe we won't all commit murder, but like at some point in our lives, we will covet. We will disrespect mm-hmm. our mom and dad. We will use God's name mm-hmm. in vain. Like, it's human. We won't take time to worship mm-hmm. as we should. So the Ten Commandments right. could very well be saying, listen, you will do these things. It is your nature, uh-huh. but it's okay because you're going to do this and you're going to do this and you're going to do this. And it is all forgiven because you're human. So as long as you remain.
And I love you, so I will forgive you always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And work on becoming mm-hmm. your best and highest self. You're going to be rewarded in this life and the next.
Yeah.
Doesn't that make more
sense? I mean,
sense?
I think that's a beautiful way to to look at it, but I don't know if I don't know if anyone else would agree or if it was their intention, but I'm completely with you on that. That makes so much more sense to me and the character that I believe Jesus to have, yeah, and like the person that I believe Jesus to be. So I'm 100% with you, but I will be curious to hear if anybody else has comments on that, if anybody else has thought of that and been like, yeah.
It always confused me how it was like, all your sins are forgiven. You're going to make these mistakes. No matter what, as long as you ask for forgiveness and you accept Christ, then why give us a list of things we can't do? Like, why give us this concrete list?
Why does it have to be a list then?
Don't do it.
Just accept us as we are and don't tell us not to do it. Like, we don't need the list.
So
just tell us we're human and it's okay.
It's okay.
No, that is so interesting. That is something that I always tested my parents on. And I now look back and I'm like, my poor mom, because
she was like, I'm doing the best I can. I don't know.
I know. I feel like she was trying to give me the best answers. But I remember that was one of my questions to her. Like, okay, if a man has committed murder and he's in the electric chair, I remember we had just watched The Green Mile, and you know how I feel about The Green Mile. I couldn't shut up about it on our Stephen King episode. I was like, okay, so if a guy murdered somebody and he's in the electric chair, if he shouts out like right before he gets electrocuted, like, Jesus, please forgive me, then does he get into heaven? And I even remember my mom like faltering a little bit, but kind of eventually getting herself together and being like, yeah, like, of course, because that's what the Bible says, right? Like, if you ask for forgiveness, but like me really pressing her on that, like, okay, so if I'm just a horrible person my entire life, as long as I beg for forgiveness, like in the moments right before I die, I'll be good, right?
Yeah.
And her not wanting to say the wrong thing, I was just kind of like, yeah, I think that's how it works.
Yes,
and I now feel bad
maybe
that I pushed her on that so much. Yeah. But it's like, yeah, that is like, it was confusing to me as a child too, clearly, to be like, well, wait, so we have this big list of things to like that we can't do, but if we do them, as long as we're like, God, I'm still good, right? Like, then we're in the clear. I don't know.
Yeah,
it was always
just like, what's
it was always too much.
What's the order? Is murder as bad as not celebrating the Sabbath?
Right. Like, why are they on the same list? Because that to me also doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, are you saying these are equal?
There's so many things about biblical texts and the teachings of Christianity that seem to contradict each other.
Yeah.
But
yes, many times.
When you actually go and read the books of the Bible that weren't chosen to be in like the final draft, like who got that choice? And the answer is a lot of kings. But when you go and like read all the text, you might actually have some come to Jesus moments, if you will, with some of this stuff that makes it make more sense to you. Like, to me, that
totally,
that understanding of the Ten Commandments makes perfect sense to me, whether that was real or right or wrong. Whereas I've never been able to understand it until I read the Gospel of Mary Magdalene. So basically, that's kind of why I wanted to bring this. I'm probably leaving you with a lot of questions, but to add another one, if you read and live by the Bible, ask yourself why the church gets to decide which gospels are included as a part of the book and which ones are not, especially the books teaching you that church kind of isn't necessary at all. Not a good look for the church.
Right.
But I just feel like,
so
you know.
What do you think about that?
Go online. You can actually read the texts of the books that weren't printed in the Bible. So ask why certain ones weren't included when certain ones were, because I just don't think it's fair that you don't get the entire text, especially if you're devoting your life to this religion.
To this book, yeah. And I feel like you should understand every perspective, every teaching, no matter who it's from, even if they didn't make the final draft, because you are committing, like you said, your entire life to, this is my belief, this is my foundation. And it's like, okay, well, there were some other books in here. Let's look at them.
There was a lot. There was a lot more.
Mary Magdalene sounds
I'm going to look them up.
Important.
Mary Magdalene was so important. Literally the most important person to Jesus, according to this book of the Bible that was never published.
Yeah. I know. And in the musical Jesus Christ Superstar, she has an amazing solo. And
of course she does.
That whole musical alludes to that. They were probably in love, even though it never comes right out and says it, because no book in the Bible does. But
well,
Jesus
and
Christ
also,
Superstar really paints a nice picture.
You know, we kind of grow up thinking soulmate means the person that you're in love with. But I think I have soulmates
totally,
that
and it doesn't.
I am not in a romantic relationship with. And
I agree.
They could have easily been soulmates and not ever done the deed.
Right. Agreed. That's true. If he was truly that celibate.
Truly man. That.
Yeah. They're just twin flames.
Twin flames.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, what segment were we going to do next?
Weird
Sorry,
science.
I totally forgot. I was like, what? Oh, yeah. Science.
Weird science. Science.
Plug the weird science song here. It was either going to be weird science or a bit of biology.
A bit of biology.
Tipping the hat.
I tip my hat.
Which is dumb. To a bit of biology.
To a bit of biology. Oh. I don't know. I kind of like that.
A cup of tea with a bit of biology. Ooh, that's fun. Okay. It's just, it's gotten away from me now.
She's dying.
Ooh. So, in today's either weird science or a bit of biology, cup of tea and a bit of biology, we are talking about plants.
Love it.
And can they hear and can they make sounds that maybe some creatures in the world can hear? And I truly didn't know the answer to
this. Upset a lot of vegetarians out there.
Oh, oh no. You thought you were doing your part. Only eating plants that don't have
Turns out,
any abilities, any feelings.
Plants scream louder than all.
Plants do not suffer in silence, y'all. They do not. Instead, when thirsty or stressed out, plants can actually make airborne sounds, according to a recent study published just this month in April. This is like some
new
fun.
Oh my god, this is breaking news, guys.
Breaking news. I was very excited. And I mean, the study has gone on for a while, so I'm sure there's some people out there who are like, yeah, I heard about this kind of, but I was excited. Plants that need water or have recently had their stems cut, which this upset me because every time I get a bouquet of flowers, I cut the stems to fit in the vase. And I thought you were supposed to. But if
they
when they've
like
had
it.
Their stems cut,
they don't like it.
When they have their stems cut, they can produce up to roughly 35 sounds per hour,
wow.
Researchers found. And well-hydrated and uncut plants are much quieter, but still will make about one sound per hour, sometimes two. So they're still squealing around, which I think is fascinating. And the reason you've probably never heard a thirsty plant make noise is that the sounds are ultrasonic,
okay.
About 20 to 100 kilohertz, meaning they are so high-pitched that very few humans could hear them, but apparently that is in the range of some people who have like
crazy hearing,
who would maybe be able to pick it up, but some animals probably can, like most likely can, like bats, mice, even moths can potentially live in a world filled with the sounds of plants. And this team that has been studying out of Israel, actually, this team has found that plants can also respond to sounds made by animals and other creatures as well. So they are both listening and making the sounds, which I just found fascinating. So in order to eavesdrop, you know, on the gossip of these plants and really study what is going on, I just like making this story fun because I think it's so cute that plants can make sounds. Lilach Hadaneh at Tel Aviv University in Israel and all of her colleagues, when they began the study, they placed tobacco and tomato plants in small boxes, duped out with microphone, souped up. What is it called?
Souped up?
Yeah, when you like pimped up my ride.
Yeah, they
pimped
their ride.
We're all souped up with,
their plant ride up.
With my... with microphones, which I also just think is cute. Little plants in a box and they have microphones. I'm like, were they wearing mini headsets? I don't know. They were in their little boxes with the microphones, and the microphones were there to try and pick up any noises made by the plants. And they did, even if the researchers weren't able to hear them. So I also thought that was funny because we just talked about EVPs last week and picking up noises when, like, we couldn't hear them with our ears, but then we hear them after the fact. So I was like, aw, little EVPs
little
from the
plant EVPs.
I know. No one was actually hearing the noises, but the microphones did pick them up. And the noises were particularly obvious for plants that were stressed by a lack of water, recent cutting. God. Obviously, they had, you know, I know.
Okay.
The cut plants in one box and then the super hydrated ones in the other. And so they picked up the sound. They were able to pitch it down a bit and speed it up when they saw that, you know, some sound waves were picked up. And this is the sound that was picked up. It's not like singing or screaming, so don't worry. You won't be too upset by it. You hear that?
Yeah, is it like tapping?
It's like clicking or like popping popcorn, they compared it to. Oh, it's a fast one. Isn't that interesting?
How are they making the sounds?
I know. Okay, so plants don't have vocal cords or lungs, obviously, but Hadane says the current theory for how plants make noises, they still aren't positive. They're checking this out. But the biggest theory is that it centers on their xylem, which is the tubes that transport water and nutrients from the roots to the stems and leaves. And water in the xylem is held together all by surface tension, just like water sucked up through a straw. And when an air bubble forms or breaks in the xylem, it might make that popping noise. So bubble formation is more likely during drought stress when they're wanting water. That's when the bubbles are like popping uncontrollably. But the exact mechanism is requiring further study. That's just the current theory, is that when the plant is lacking water, it's like poppity pop pop pop. Like I'm dying in here. Here we go. But that it's all happening in the xylem. That is the theory.
Okay.
And the team was able to produce a machine learning model to deduce whether a plant had been cut or was stressed from the sounds that it made. So then that brought the study even further of like, what kind of stress are we hearing through those popping noises? And they were able to get this machine to guess with about 70% accuracy, which is not
too shabby.
Bad at all for like their first go around. Yeah. So they're going to keep working on it, obviously. And this result suggests a possible role for audio monitoring of plants to become a bigger thing now in farming and horticulture in the future. So that could be huge. And also selfishly, I hope that this gets, you know, better and better, that the science on this keeps getting better so that idiots like me could keep house plants alive.
I need to go,
you know,
water my Monstera really quickly. Leah has given me, this is my second Monstera plant. She gave it to me specifically because she said, and I quote, "It's going to be very hard for you to kill." Well, I killed the first one.
Oh, no.
And so she mailed me another one. And it's dying.
I hate when people say that. You and I both got a succulent from, I think it was that market that was outside
dead
of T-Pop that when we did that thing.
Yeah.
We both killed it within a month. And it was that same thing where like, yeah, a succulent, which we already knew was pretty difficult to kill. But I remember even the woman selling them was like, oh, like, because we kept joking, like, we kill every plant we've ever owned. She was like, oh, these are so easy. I mean, it's like a cactus.
She was like, you're going to have to try both really hard to kill this plant. And we were like,
both
all
of
right.
them died so
challenge
quickly.
Accepted. This plant's dead on arrival.
I will say, your old apartment was very dark, and so was mine. If you remember my first one bedroom, it was also really dark. This apartment that I'm currently in has a lot more natural light. And I've still killed many a plant, so don't get it twisted. But like, I don't know if this one is in the frame too much or not, but I've had this one now for almost 2 years.
Really?
And I've kept it alive. And I think it's because I'm keeping it by my sliding door and it's getting the light it needs. But as I say this, some of these leaves are starting to brown. So I think I just jinxed.
I don't know what it is. You know, when I finally moved into this house, because I love the look of plants. Like, I think they're so beautiful. Yeah. I wish I had a green thumb. That's one thing I never.
I don't have.
As witchy as I am, I can't keep any plant alive. So when we moved into this house, I bought a lot of fake plants. I don't even care anymore. Like, I was like, I'm not going to buy a fake plant. That's so embarrassing to have a fake plant. No, buy a fake plant.
It's not.
Listen, some of us, we're not gifted. Some of us are murderers.
Green thumb. That's right. Some of us kill people. And plants. We're the plant killers, just to be clear. This guy sitting next to me, which again, I'm like, I don't even know what's on in frame on this video. So I'm just bringing it all the way in.
Oh, he looks great.
I can do this because it's fake.
Oh, it's fake.
But he looks kind of real.
Listen.
Yeah.
But he looks real as hell on my end.
See? No, people always come over and ask. They're like, oh my gosh, you have a little fiddle tree. How do you keep it so green? And I'm like, listen here. Oh,
sweetie.
It's fake. But I have a nice mix. Like up there, I have a real hanging plant over my fake plant. So I'm trying to do a little of both. But
trick 'em.
As a person who kills many plants, I want to have the look of greenery.
Yeah. And I also want all these fake plants around so that when I bring real plants in, they look at them and they're like, those plants look healthy as shit. I'm in good hands. And they're not immediately it smells like death in here.
Scared.
And I'm scared.
Poppity pop pop pop.
Poppity pop 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 pop. Pop. The plants help come in me. And they're like, I hear all of the death.
Oh, SOS in plant Morse code. Oh my god.
Well, if plants really do feel pain, I'm sorry.
I know.
I didn't mean to.
Poor honeys.
I don't want to be this way.
I know. And yeah, the last thing I was going to say was, like, the studies keep getting better and better. The most recent thing that just came out, maybe why this story was kind of released in the last couple of weeks again, was with the aid of this like machine and this computer program, they have trained it to filter out all background noise from wind and air conditioning units. Cause I mean, they do a lot of these studies in greenhouses that have, you know, the fans going and it's really noisy. They can filter out the sound and still pick up the little popping sounds the plants are making. So they have been able to learn about a lot of different plants. It started with just the tomato and tobacco, but now we have found out that wheat and corn are ones that are very vocal, which again is huge for the farming community, and wine grapes.
Hey.
So all those vineyard owners, you'll know if you're treating those wine grapes just right, and you better, because we want to drink the wine that comes from them. I don't know what this dance is, but I got excited about it. And my last note is the plant that they have learned that can hear for 100%. They're still studying others that are a little bit iffy, but one that 100% responds to outside stimuli is the beech evening primrose.
Okay.
Which I'd never heard of. It releases nectar when it hears the sound of a flying bee. And it's like, here you go.
It's like, here.
And then you're ready.
Well, and also, you know, we've talked about this on the show before too, how mushrooms or fungi, it doesn't have to be mushrooms, but fungi can actually tell when a nearby plant needs more nutrients and can reroute nutrients to that plant. So they're communicating in some way.
Communicating, I know.
But can you imagine if we could communicate with them? Oh boy.
I would love it and hate it
a
little.
A little.
Just because I would feel like I was on an alien planet. But
Well, next up we've got... Unsolved Mysteries. This is the Hoboken train crash. This is actually semi-recent. This is from 2016. So,
my goodness.
I know. I don't remember this story at all, but it was national news. On September 29th, 2016, the Passaic Valley Line train number 1614 left the Spring Valley Station in New York at 7:23 a.m., and they were set to arrive at Hoboken, New Jersey at 8:45 a.m.
I just have to say, sorry to interrupt, this sounds like one of those math problems that you get on your test where it's like, this train left the station.
The Passaic Valley Line train number 1614 was traveling at 21 miles per hour.
Okay, I can do this.
Well, the Hoboken station is at the end of the line. So there's a buffer stop, also sometimes known as a bumper block there, which is essentially a device on train tracks that prevents railway vehicles from going past the end of the track for any reason. I imagine if a train derails, it's a real pain in the ass. Like, not just, like, if there's damage, but I imagine even if it, like, got off the tracks, I imagine it'd be a real fucking pain to get it back on. But I don't know. I'm just thinking of myself and, like, when one of my dresser drawers comes out, and I'm like, well, that's off the track for who knows how long, because I can't get that shit back on.
Someone else is going to have to get in here and look. Yeah, truly.
professional's going to have to come in here.
Right.
Anyway, on this particular morning, the train did not slow down when it was coming into its last stop at Hoboken, New Jersey. In fact, it pulled in going over the regulated speed limit and crashed into the station, plowing through the bumper block and taking out walls and a part of the roof of the station as well. 114 people were injured in the accident, and this included passengers on the runaway train as well as pedestrians waiting for the train on the platform. There was miraculously only one fatality. That doesn't make it any less tragic, but a 34-year-old attorney named Fabiola, she was killed, of all things, by falling debris when the roof caved in.
Oh, gosh.
What happened was basically the engineer, a man named Thomas Gallagher, suffered from severe sleep apnea, which was not diagnosed until after the crash, which is interesting because the New Jersey Transit has a sleep apnea screening program, and Thomas was cleared for duty in July of that year after a physical screening. So it's weird they didn't catch it just 2 months prior to the accident happening. It's also strange because after they found the black box, for anyone who doesn't know, just like an airplane, a train has event recording devices that will record the things that happen on the train, even if we don't have communication with the train, including a log of the controls used by that train. So, according to the second black box, the first one was crushed beyond belief, 38 seconds prior to the crash, the engineer, Thomas Gallagher, accelerated from 8 miles per hour and was going 21 miles per hour on impact, which is over twice the legal speed limit of 10 miles per hour.
Yeah. Okay. So that's weird.
Strange.
That's bizarre.
Thomas had also attempted the emergency braking procedure less than a second before the impact of the crash. So that's fucking weird. Like, not only was this train coming in hot, it was coming in twice as hot. For some reason. Like, we don't know.
Yeah. Some reason we have no idea.
Now, Thomas was not really blamed for the crash. He actually says he has no memory of it at all. They found him unconscious and lying on the cab floor, but he did make the acceleration and he pulled the emergency brake. So he seemed to have been functioning in some way, whether he believes it or remembers it or not.
Right. Like, he was doing something.
Yeah, like he was doing something. He was 48 years old at the time. He had had 18 years of experience as a train engineer. As far as I can tell, no one ever found anything bad to say about the man. Like, no one said anything mean about him. He was a father of two teenage daughters. He had no prior accidents on record. He cooperated fully with the investigation. He did end up being fired, but he appealed it and got a job working as an engineer again in 2019, and his sleep apnea is being treated and watched closely. So it really doesn't seem like this was done on purpose as some sort of like murder-suicide situation.
Right.
After this crash, the New Jersey Transit changed a lot of its rules, including new regulations requiring engineers to be accompanied by at least one other crew member as they pull into Hoboken Station. They also reduced the approaching speed from 10 miles an hour to 5 miles per hour. And in 2021, an $8.15 million settlement was granted to the family of Fabiola, as well as four other injured passengers. But do you know what the craziest thing is about this story?
What?
How the crash happened is not the mystery. The mystery.
What's the mystery?
Is that the night before the crash, an emergency scrolling message appeared on TVs across the United States, originating from an upstate New York TV station that read, "Civil authorities have issued a hazardous materials warning for the United States, effective until 2:16 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Would you, could you, on a train? Wait for further instructions." So thousands of people saw this and inquired about it, mostly because of the first part about hazardous materials in the United States, obviously. But then,
but also,
after the train
crash, could you on a train, Dr. Seuss?
Yeah.
What?
After the train crash makes national news less than 12 hours later, now people are wondering what the fuck is going on with the second part of the message, the ominous Dr. Yeah. Seuss rhyme, would you, could you on a train?
Right. Excuse you?
What?
What? So, and nobody ever got to the bottom of that?
No one ever figured out what that was. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, you've heard of them, claimed at first that a software engineer was running tests on their system and accidentally sent out a live emergency broadcast instead of a test one. But WKTV later said it was not FEMA that sent out the message, that it was their alert system that had been hacked, and they were trying to figure out where it had come from. But to this day, no one knows how the emergency broadcast was sent out or how the Dr. Seuss rhyme from hell got added to it.
Right? Would you, could you on a train? That's just, that can't be a coincidence.
That's like a fucking, that's like a Gotham City Joker Riddler message.
Yeah, it really
Joker
is.
Joker Riddler,
it really is.
You know, that classic character, it's, the Joker Riddler.
You know, the Joker Riddler penguin.
Joker Riddler penguin leaving messages all around.
I know. No, that's like, it's really spooky because it sounds like it was a threat in some way, but like, who did the threat come from? Yeah. Or is this just the craziest coincidence?
And they investigated it and there was nothing seemed to be terroristy about the event, you know, like it seemed like
the
guy
hacking
just,
of the system,
yeah fell asleep. Like, it's strange, but
it's so mysterious.
If you or anyone you know has information on evil Dr. Seuss, call us at 626-686-1821. Our operators are standing by.
We're ready to receive
we're
your
ready
answer.
To receive
oh
your
my
call.
Gosh. That is crazy.
Wild.
That's a good mystery. I can't believe I didn't know about that. Do we have time for one more segment?
Yeah, we do.
All right, then I'm going to take you into some weird news of the month as we go into Lauren's Derp Corner. We love it. It's my favorite.
Who got what stuck in where? Lauren's Derp Corner.
And this time, it's not something stuck in somewhere.
That's
the
derpiest
thing.
Part.
It's okay. Just, I know, but this is just a derpy okay. man from the East Coast. We're staying over on the East Coast. Ashley brought us there with the train. We're hanging out over here. A man in York County, Pennsylvania, near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and Hershey, Pennsylvania. I had to look that up because I wanted to do my husband proud, who is from there, because I was like, where's York County? I don't know. I don't know anything. And he's been working in Hershey. It's a whole thing. Okay. So near Harrisburg, Hershey, kind of over more on the east side of Pennsylvania. So York County, this guy was arrested just last week. Again, all
wow.
of this really current events here. Last week on April 4th, after allegedly leading officers on two separate vehicle chases in two separate counties. It all began early on a Tuesday morning after Pennsylvania state troopers stopped a BMW with a Florida plate. Florida has to get brought into it somehow.
Come on, Florida.
Talking about some some goofs. So he's driving a BMW with a Florida plate, and they question the driver. His name is Tony Saunders. And it was reported that the trooper said they could see items in the back of the car that Saunders was driving that appeared to be from a nearby convenience store where a theft had just been reported.
Weird.
However, just coincidence, I guess. However, Saunders reportedly told police he got the items at a junkyard. He had no idea what they were talking about. There was also a dog in the vehicle and a dead deer in the trunk. So a lot going on.
Okay.
A lot to unpack in this moment. So the troopers, of course, said, we need you to exit the vehicle because we have 9,000 questions about what's going on with you. But he decided to speed off, turning off his headlights and speeding away to avoid detection. Because, yes, this happened in the morning, but it was the wee hours of the morning. It was still a little dark. So he's like, I turn off my headlights, I vanish. And he drove off into the night. They were able to keep up with him, but then he had to abandon the BMW when he wasn't able to maneuver the car over some railroad tracks. So he got out of the car and ran into a heavily wooded area And we lose good old Tony for a little bit. He got away. But then, later that morning, local law enforcement agencies were notified that a school bus had been stolen in a nearby county in Abbottstown, just a little bit further east from the initial chase in the wee hours of the morning. And Carroll Township Police said officers first spotted the bus at a shopping center parking lot. It took off, and they were eventually able to catch up with it. The driver pulled over briefly, but then pulled away and kept driving, turning the headlights off once again. The driver then allegedly led officers on a chase that ended after he had to abandon the bus, I think due to it running out of gas, and run away on foot while stripping off all his clothes in the process. I don't know why, but they came off.
Okay.
So old Nakey man is running and police apprehended him and, you know, got him cuffed and were able to identify him as the earlier driver from the story, good old Tony Saunders. Oh, Tony, who admitted he had stolen the school bus after crashing the BMW. It was all he could do. He needed another vehicle. And he claimed he intended to use the dead deer carcass from before, don't forget about it, to fertilize his garden, as we all do with dead deer.
You already stole stuff from a convenience store. Just steal some mulch and fertilizer.
Steal some mulch.
Right? I don't know.
And the body of a dead deer. Sure. Yeah, just really go nuts. So he was going to use that deer to fertilize the garden, and he admitted to all of his crimes. He said it very matter-of-factly, like, I needed this stuff, I needed the bus, I needed the deer. But you know what? I'm sorry, Tony, you broke the law. So he still remains in York County Prison on a $100,000 bail. Doesn't seem like any family or friends are coming for him anytime soon. So it only leaves me with more questions, like, what is his story?
What's his deal?
Where is he from? Drugs. Did he drive up from Florida? Drugs. Did he just have a rental car? Yeah. Was it drugs? Was it the booze? Was it just simply...
Just a bee in his bonnet?
The mind was... Yeah. Just a bee in his bonnet. I don't know. I want to know what's going on with good old Tony Saunders, but he's the derp of the
derp day. Of the day. Tony Saunders. Great job. Good job, Tony.
We did it.
You stole the slowest vehicle in vehicle history.
Why did you move on to a school bus? And one of the most noticeable, like, you're just the big yellow bus. We're going to find you. You could have done better.
We're going to catch you. We're going to find you. You better strip down to your skivvies and run into the woods.
Correct. Yes.
All right, Tony. Thank you, Tony. Hopefully someone posts your bail soon. That's all the time we have this week.
Or maybe not. Need to sit there a bit longer.
Maybe you deserve to take a little break. That is all the time we have this week for Keep It Weird. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned. Lauren is going to try and send me a psychic message, but we got to get through our other baloney first. So follow us on social media at Keep It Weird Cast. That's Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We share upcoming episode news. We share when we're not going to have an episode because we set our house on fire. We share Witchy Wednesdays, Tarot Tuesdays. It's a good time, okay? And you should come and join us. And the more you follow us, the more other people might see our page and follow us as well. Leave us a review on iTunes. You can leave a review. I think you can rate us on Spotify, but you can leave an actual like worded review on iTunes, and that looks really good for us as well. So like help your girls out. Leave a little review. It can even be an honest one, but I prefer it's nice. like and subscribe here. Like this video. Subscribe to our YouTube channel so you'll be the first to know when a new episode or clip is dropped. What else? Join our Patreon, www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast. Please. We have bonus episodes.
We also have a good time.
We have
over
a great
there.
Time over
we
there. We have bonus episodes every month. We have a newsletter that's full of like cool shit and stories and creepy stuff. You can get a discount on merch as well. You can go to www.keepitweirdpodcast.com/merch. And you can buy yourself a t-shirt, tank top, hoodie, or whatever your heart desires. Are you ready to send me a psychic message?
I'm ready.
Okay, so it worked for us last week to really clear our minds and relax our bodies and just sort of let it flow. There are no triangles. There are only a plus sign, a square, a circle, a star, or a squiggly line. So I'm going to show you the symbol. I'm closing my eyes. I'm showing you the symbol. Okay. Can you see it?
I can.
Do you have it in your head?
Yes. Okay, here we go.
Send it to me. Square.
No. Star. It was that devil that I keep getting. I feel like the star is our block. It's our mind.
It's the mind block. Get out of here. I'm taking all the stars out of the packet. Well, you know what?
No, just remove them.
We're going to keep going for it. We're going to keep reading up on how to enhance our abilities. And we're going to get this hive mind going. Oh, we forgot to add the bees. They'll come in at some point.
See? That was the reason.
In the meantime, we will see you next week and keep it weird.